SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Off and running in today's edition of Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 159, Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens talking NFL, a new week for the NFL. We were talking last week about divisional and conference odds. This week, we start with the week one matchups on FanDuel. We have Philadelphia, 6.5-point favorites over the Dallas Cowboys. What does that mean potentially for the Eagles and the revamped Dallas Cowboys? Dallas now does have George Pickens in the lineup. They have C.D. Lamb. What does that mean in regards to Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys in terms of win totals? We'll see. I mean, I think when you look at it, and we'll talk to Ben when he comes back, when you look at Dallas and you look at the optimism surrounding the Dallas Cowboys this year, you have to look at the 7.5 win total, Schottenheimer and this offense. We know that they can score points, but the problem, and this will be the problem for Dallas big picture, can they stop anybody? That defense, for the most part, broke down throughout the regular season, especially in run support. They cannot stop better teams against the run. You look at the week two matchup against Baltimore, Derrick Henry, he abused them. Lamar Jackson as well. When they face better teams in the conference, better teams in the AFC and NFC, that front seven broke down. What is Micah Parsons? What does the front seven bring in terms of 2025 will ultimately dictate whether the Dallas Cowboys are an NFC contender. When you look at the matchup, divisional opponent for Philadelphia and Dallas, 6.5 points is a huge spread when you look at it. These teams ultimately a rivalry game. Both of these teams will look to score points. We know that Philadelphia, not just the best team in the NFC entering 2025, but the best team potentially in the NFL. They have the best odds to potentially win back-to-back Super Bowl championships. The front seven led by Jalen Carter and that dominant front seven could put pressure on Dak Prescott. What does the offense look like now with George Pickens in that lineup? C.D. Lamb most likely will still be double-teamed for that offense. Can that open up potentially George Pickens and potentially the tight ends? Only time will tell. There's a lot of pressure right now on Schottenheimer and Dallas to overexceed expectations and get past where Mike McCarthy got this ball club just a couple of seasons ago in the first round. They got abused by Jordan Love and got abused by Green Bay in terms of that playoff matchup. What does this year bring in terms of the Dallas Cowboys in terms of success? They don't get to the playoffs this year. In my opinion, Schottenheimer could be a one and done. And more importantly, Jerry Jones might have to blow up the team, Ben.
Yeah, they might have to do that, Joe, but at least it will be a marquee matchup for the Cowboys to begin their 2025 campaign, as you were alluding to. That is game number one of 272 in the 2025 NFL regular season. It is scheduled release week all around the National Football League, bit by bit, leading up to the full unveiling of the entirety of the schedule for all 32 NFL clubs on Wednesday night. We are going to get some of those marquee games throughout the 2025 season, including Brighton early on this Monday morning, the release of what that season debut game is going to be. The Eagles, the reigning Super Bowl champs, in Philadelphia, hosting their bitter and divisional rivals in the Dallas Cowboys. And Lisi, I heard you breaking down the 6.5-point spread. Early total has opened at 46.5 for the first regular season game of this year. 115 days away exactly on Thursday, September 4th, 2025. And you were alluding to what it means for both sides. We'll get to the reigning Super Bowl champs and the Super Bowl favorites to go back-to-back in the birds in just a moment. I do think it is an indication of the lack of optimism, at least based on Dallas standards, the Cowboys have entering 2025. A Cowboys team with a win total of only 7.5, and a Cowboys team with a full offseason of preparation ready for that week one debut nearly a touchdown underdog against their bitter foe in the reigning Super Bowl champs. I think that 6.5-point spread, Joe, tells us a lot about what the Cowboys are hoping to do in 2025 from the odds perspective. It's not a surefire conference contender. It's not even a surefire playoff team. Heck, it's not even a surefire team above 500 with the win total sitting at 7.5.
It's not. And when you look at the week one matchup, you know, Philadelphia and the Link are going to be a dynamic atmosphere coming off a Super Bowl hometown crowd. And obviously knowing how Philadelphia abused Dallas in their basically week 16 matchup, even though it was backups, Dallas didn't have an answer for Saquon Barkley and the rushing attack. And that's still the main concern for Dallas, and not just in this matchup, but just throughout the regular season. Can they shut down the run, and can that defense maybe elevate to potentially a top 15 unit? If they're a top 15 defense, Dallas, let's just say they bounce back into form, there's no doubt they could be an 8, 9, or 10 win football team with Dak Prescott, and obviously now having George Pickens. They could put up 40 points per game, Ben, but that defense is nowhere near where Philadelphia is entering this season, and that's why you're seeing a significant deficit as it relates to the week one matchup. Right now, if I had a look and you forced me to bet this game, I would lay it with the Eagles at home.
Yeah, it's interesting as well. Adam Schefter reporting on this. The Super Bowl champs have opened up the NFL season the following year now 20 times since 2004. And the reigning Super Bowl champs have won 15 of those 20 games outright. If the Eagles are going to win this one as the reigning Super Bowl champs, can it be by at least a touchdown? That's what the odds makers are anticipating. It will be fascinating, Joe, to see what that Dallas defense does and to see ultimately at some stage of this offseason into the summer months, either before training camp or during training camp and preseason affairs, if/when Micah Parsons gets the large contract extension we are all expecting him to. But Jerry Jones, although things can be very obvious and clear, often takes his time with those big, big contract deals and the extensions. Joe, the first offseason bet I made this year in the NFL was on the Dallas Cowboys over that win total of 7.5. When I bet it, it was even money plus 100 to the over. Now a little bit more juice on that over at minus 135. Basically, with the idea being that I understand Brian Schottenheimer is a first-time head coach. Do not love the hire. Don't think very highly of it. But if Dak Prescott, who was paid last offseason, is healthy, the Cowboys are a good regular season team. Dak has been in the league now for 9 years. He has played double-digit games, at least 12 games, in 7 of those 9 seasons. Not last season, not in 2020. In all 7 years, Joe, that Prescott has started and played in at least 12 games, the Cowboys as a team have won at least 9. So I have some wiggle room in that experience and understanding that oftentimes it has been the Cowboys in 5 of those 7 years, or at least 8, excuse me, in all 7. In 5 of the 7, double-digit wins as well. And we can joke about the Mike McCarthy era, the 5 seasons in Dallas at Big D, but in the bookends of that 5-year stint, his first in 2020, last year in 2024, those 2 times in Dak's career, he has not played at least 12 games. And that's when the Cowboys won only 6 games, 6 in 2020, 7 last year. In the 3 years in between for McCarthy, 12 regular season wins, 2 divisional crowns in the NFC East. And Joe, I'm willing to bet on the Cowboys win total to the over. I would never bet your money, my worst enemy's money on the Cowboys winning the NFC or contending for a Super Bowl.
Right. So you mentioned it. If Dak Prescott is healthy, they have a great shot to be an above 500 football team, right? That, you know, we know that when Dak is in there, he can put up numbers. We saw, and we talked about it last week, 4,000 and 4,500 yard passers. Dak Prescott has good potential as long as he's healthy and plays 16, 17 games to eclipse that total. But again, what does the defense give you? You can't just be relegated to outscoring teams each and every Sunday. That defense needs to take the next step, and we'll see if they could do it. But if Dak's healthy, 7.5 is doable for the win total.
Yeah, at least just regular season success. Anything beyond the playoffs, completely different story in Big D. More on Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. It is scheduled release week in the National Football League, a televised event on Wednesday evening for all 32 NFL teams, knowing the entirety of their schedule. Yes, we already know the opponent, but when exactly that game is going to be played, what week, what date, what time, we'll have all of that information by Wednesday evening. In the days leading up to it, we will have the NFL TV partners start to announce their marquee matchups and when exactly those are taking place and what exactly the game is going to be in that television window. We will also have schedule leaks and reports and all that good stuff to cipher through here this week on Football Full Circle. Lisi, we know the season debut is at the home of the reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, as inside Lincoln Financial Field, the Birds will host the boys in an old-school NFC East rivalry on Thursday, September 4th for the NFL season debut in 2025. As we have shared, the Birds a 6.5-point favorite, total 46.5. Philadelphia, Joe, more than likely, odds can shift throughout the remainder of this offseason, but more than likely, the Eagles will begin 2025 as the Super Bowl favorites to go back-to-back in both Super Bowl 59 and Super Bowl 60 out in Santa Clara, California. Do you believe, or maybe it's in Las Vegas, I'll confirm, but do you believe the Eagles deserve to be that Super Bowl favorite entering this upcoming 2025 season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and I told you this, that if they put a market up for a three-peat potentially now to tie it up for 2 years, I still think the Eagles, I would make that bet because I think they have that much of a solid foundation offensively with Jalen Hurts and the young wide receivers and Saquon Barkley and that defense. And I honestly believe that Nick Sirianni as a head coach, even though he had some potential ups and downs a couple of years ago with the new OC in DC, he's been a very good coach against elite competition, and all they do is win. So, yeah, at 7-1, I think I've made that bet already. I've made the bet at +3.25 for them to win the NFC Championship this year. I think barring any major injuries to key performers, they should be right there heading to an NFC Championship appearance. Whether they win it or not, that's a different story, but everything is on track for this team to succeed, and they are the team to beat entering week number one.
And there are some lines of delineation, Joe, certainly in the NFC for a Birds team, of course, that has won the NFC two of the previous three seasons. Philadelphia right now, as we literally were just talking about it, the odds have moved for the Super Bowl prices. The Birds now 7-1. The Ravens and the Bills tied for that second best price at +750, a dollar in front of the Chiefs at +850, the Lions +950, and then basically you have to double Detroit's price to get to the LA Rams at an 18-1 number, third best price for a team out of the NFC. It is very tightly compact, Joe, at the top of the AFC, which still stuns me. I know the Chiefs lost to the Eagles in disappointing and humiliating fashion in Super Bowl 59. Kansas City at least won the AFC once again, and yet they are not booked as the favorites behind the Ravens and the Bills, who are both +360 co-favorites, a half buck in front of KC. Philadelphia has a $1.5 lead on Detroit, +330 for the Eagles, +480 for the Lions in the NFC, and the Rams are the only other team with a three-digit price at 9-1. All to say, Philadelphia has a little bit more gap in its advantage in the NFC than the tightly compacted AFC and that trio that we expect, Ravens, Bills, Chiefs.
Yeah, I think when you see that breakdown, right, the NFC East, right, Dallas, what are you going to get out of them? New York, dead right. And buried, and the only team that basically, you know, could compete, at least on paper right now, is Washington, and we don't know if they take a major step back or a little bit of regression, knowing that they overexceeded last year. On the flip side, when you look at Kansas City, well, what has changed this year, potentially, as opposed to years past? Well, Denver has their, you know, quarterback of the future with Bo Nix and Sean Payton elevated to a playoff appearance. L.A. with Jim Harbaugh, the same thing, Herbert, and knowing what they were able to do. And now it's going to be very difficult for Kansas City to just walk through the division, right? You know, they were pushed to the limit by both of those teams and won, what, two-point games against the Chargers and Denver, respectively, at home? Not going to be easy this year. So there's the potential for Kansas City to maybe not dominate the division, and there you go. Maybe they're on the outside looking into the Baltimore Ravens. I still would bet on potentially Kansas City because they've done it year after year, and as long as Mahomes is healthy, they have as good a shot as anybody. But this might be the year where maybe they come back to the pack as a 10 or an 11-win football team.
Yeah, might be the year. We just have not seen it be the year as long as Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback in Kansas City. At least 11 wins in all seven of those seasons, 12-plus, including 15 a year ago in six of those seven. Win total for the Chiefs, by the way, 11.5 in the under, has the pretty hefty juice at minus 140 in a Chiefs team that even prior to Patrick Mahomes and still under the guidance of Andy Reid has dominated this division in the AFC West, winning it nine consecutive years. I understand the idea of a fall off, and the Chiefs will enter this year for the first time since 2023, for the first time since 2022, not as the reigning Super Bowl champions. They still won the AFC for a third consecutive year a season ago. I just think it's a little bit crazy to have two teams in front of them in the AFC championship races. Not saying that Kansas City will win the AFC crown once again, but in the preseason and the offseason, to have teams with better odds to do so when they have zero pedigree of ever getting past Kansas City kind of baffles the mind. The Chiefs are not necessarily an underdog, but I do find those odds interesting. Joe, two more TV networks are going to release a marquee game or a couple of marquee games with a schedule announcement on this Monday. That will be Amazon Prime Video and Fox. For Fox, we can expect maybe some Thanksgiving games, a couple of America's Game of the Week, some of those big ones. Prime Video is going to broadcast that Friday night opener in Sao Paulo on Friday, September 5th, the Brazilian opener. And all indications, Joe, it's going to be the Chargers and the Chiefs.
Interesting matchup, right? They went right down to the wire in Arrowhead last year, and week one last year was a nail biter. See if 2025 can live up to expectations.
Would be a good game over there for the Brazilian opener when that is confirmed. Of course, we let you know on FFC. More here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. We're up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. Again, it is scheduled release week around the NFL. Any news that we have today, tomorrow, Wednesday, certainly reacting to everything. All 32 NFL teams doing the entirety of their 18-week schedule in the National Football League for 2025. We will bring that to you. But of course, Joe, some big news bright and early to start off the weekend on Saturday morning. Kind of out of nowhere, a stunning development. Derek Carr announced his retirement from the National Football League after 11 seasons, the previous two in New Orleans. I say kind of stunning and kind of out of nowhere is because throughout most of this offseason, the conversation around Derek Carr and his future in New Orleans was around his right throwing shoulder. In an injury that was lingering on him after only playing 10 games last year in 2024, but it wasn't because of the shoulder injury that he missed any time a season ago. As it was shared in the statement announcing his retirement from the NFL through training, through throwing, there was some degenerative issue with his rotator cuff in his right throwing shoulder, making his future as a quarterback, of course, having to throw the football first and foremost, very uncertain and up in the air. So after 11 years in the National Football League, Derek Carr calls it a career, Joe, leaving the New Orleans Saints with plenty of questions for their future moving forward in the Big Easy.
Yeah, and this could be one of the best bets in terms of the offseason selling. If you get a potential worst record in the NFL, it might be the New Orleans Saints. We know that entering this year, even with Derek Carr at the helm, major question marks from an offensive perspective, running back, Kamara, and all those wide receivers, especially Chris Olave, Can he make it through a regular season without being injured, right? And now you add in the fact that the veteran quarterback is no longer there and that you have Kellen Moore, a first-year head coach, that's going to have to coach up either Jake Haener, Spencer Rattler, or now Tyler Shuck, very inexperienced quarterbacks. This is not easy. And even though they're in a winnable division, an offensive mind, we know that Dennis Allen let the rope slip with the defense last year. This team is in disarray, and they're in a major rebuild. They're potentially in the perfect spot to get either Garrett Nussmeier, the local kid, or Arch Manning, number one overall. If I had to make a bet right now, they're under their win total, and I take them for the worst record in the NFL.
Yeah, it's a really good look, Lisi guy, and we'll explain why in just a moment. In terms of the two guys that you alluded to, we have two of the best prices to be that first overall pick in 2026. I mean, the narrative time both guys to this franchise is pretty crazy. Plus 240 on Arch to go first overall, plus 360 on Garrett Nussmeier, second best price. Currently, Nussmeier's father is the offensive coordinator in New Orleans under Kellen Moore. They work together, of course, that being Doug Nussmeier and Kellen Moore on the offensive staff in Philadelphia. They've got a lot of ties together. They work together in Dallas and in LA with the Chargers prior to that. Historically, the ties for Arch Manning to follow his grandfather in Archie in play in the boot down there in the bayou for New Orleans. Now, that would be something as well. That's the future. We'll talk about how the Saints can get there in just a moment. I do want to take a moment, though, Joe, to reflect on the 11 seasons for Derek Carr in the National Football League. Early second-round pick by the Oakland Raiders at the time. Spent 11 years in the NFL, the first nine of his career with that Raiders franchise, the previous two seasons in New Orleans. Never had the playoff success. Never, of course, made it to a conference championship or anything of the sort. But the guy was always out there, played double-digit games in at least in every one of his 11 NFL seasons. Last year in 2024, because of the left hand injury and the groin injury, he missed seven games, only playing 10. That was the fewest of any of his seasons in the National Football League. The previous 10, at least 15 games. Of course, an unceremonious end in Las Vegas with the Raiders. In the season back in 2022, they traded for Devontae Adams, the reunion of the two former college buddies and teammates, only to ship Derek Carr or run him out of town by the end of week number 16. He spent the first 9 years of his career with the Raiders, was a four-time Pro Bowler, including that final season in Las Vegas in three of the first 4 years of his career in Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, you look back at Derek Carr's career, even at Fresno State with Devontae Adams and their former head coach, Pat Hill, elevated their time out in the Mount West Conference. And you look at his pro career, I mean, the biggest game that stands out is when they almost knocked off Joe Burrow in the first round of the playoffs a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And the Raiders for many years prior to Derek Carr were not having that playoff success either. Plenty more on FFC, including where this leaves the Saints next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So Derek Carr calls it a career after 11 seasons in the National Football League, the previous two in New Orleans. Joe, when he left the Las Vegas Raiders, because the Raiders ran him out of town, and he signed with the Saints in the 2023 offseason, New Orleans quickly became the odds-on favorite, the front-runner to win the NFC South, a weaker division. They never did with Derek Carr, and now he leaves New Orleans after 2 years. Listen, there was a lot of conversation about his status in the Big Easy moving forward under new coaching staffs in Kellen Moore. And of course, because of the shoulder issue, his status for 2025 was very uncertain even before he has now announced his retirement. So the Saints will enter 2025 in a wildly new direction. Rookie head coach in Kellen Moore, and more than likely a rookie starting quarterback. Joe, the odds are out on FanDuel Canada for who is going to be that week one starter for the Saints. And the second round pick, 40th overall, who will turn 26 only a few weeks after maybe making his NFL debut. Tyler Shuck, the rookie out of Louisville, is more than likely to be a New Orleans week one starter.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why Tyler Shuck shouldn't be under center week number one. But if I had to make that bet, I'd take a shot on Rat. You know, I think Rat's got a pretty good shot to potentially, you know, having the game experience. Maybe Kellen Moore could get the best out of him. I know Tyler Shuck was drafted to potentially be that guy. And you had to know that New Orleans, you know, did the right thing. If you look at the draft, they made the proper move in terms of acquiring Tyler Shuck to potentially be as a fail-safe for Derek Carr, and it worked out perfectly in that regard. But, you know, if you're looking to build for the future, you start Tyler Shuck week one and just roll with the growing pains. There's no reason to not. You know, and if he leads you to potentially a wild card, great. That'll hurt you in 26, but you might have a Bo Nix type of situation. It's similar in terms of age. I'm just saying, if he leads you to a wild card appearance, you might catch lightning in a bottle. There's no reason not to start Tyler Shuck, ready or not. Throw him to the wolves, baby.
And now he has a full off season, right? After being drafted early in the second round, not wondering if he's in a quarterback battle with the veteran Derek Carr. Does Carr have the benefit of the doubt? Is he starting from in front of Tyler Shuck? Now it's Shuck's team. You might say, what about Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener? Each still in the QB room in the Big Easy, each starting at least one game a season ago. No, it's got to be Tyler Shuck, and that's why New Orleans made the move when they did. Minus 186 should be minus 1086, at least for Shuck to be the starter. Now, are Joe and I expecting Shuck to follow the Bo Nix route? I'm not. Bo Nix was the 12th overall pick, and we understood his college experience. Shuck was around for a long time, 7 years, starting at Oregon. Bo Nix then went there, then to Texas Tech, and then finally the previous 2 years at Louisville. I understand the comparisons, right? So much experience collegiately, a little bit older. Joe, you have made the argument you're not sure why age is a hindrance for a lot of these GMs and front offices in terms of drafting a quarterback. I'm not saying it's a hindrance. I'm just saying because the guy is going to be 26 by week three doesn't mean he is going to follow the successful Bo Nix route. In fact, I don't think it is going to be overly successful. And Joe, to that point, the Saints win total when this market opened up about a month and a half ago, earlier this offseason, was 7.5. The under had the juice. With some of the status uncertainty around Derek Carr entering the NFL draft, that win total dropped to 6.5. Now, after the Derek Carr announcement that he is retiring, it's a 5.5 win total for the Saints, minus 110, the juice on either side. It feels rather fitting. And Joe, the Saints now become one of five teams around the NFL, along with the Giants, Browns, Jets, and Titans, that have that win total at 5.5.
Yeah, I mean, again, when you think about, you know, just optimism and you think about what New Orleans has skill-wise, they are up against it. And even though they're in a winnable division, you know, you look at Atlanta, you look at Carolina on the upswing, and obviously Tampa Bay, that has won the division for four straight years, and you say this team is at a significant disadvantage now. And you're right. I'm not suggesting that, you know, because of Tyler Shuck, he's going to have the same type of progression and trajectory as Bo Nix. I'm just saying if any quarterback could get it, you would hope to grasp the pressure and grasp the playbook. A 26, 27-year-old quarterback that has, you know, been to multiple programs should be able to handle that entering year number one. But again, is his ability anywhere near where Bo Nix was last year or two, you know, coming out of Oregon? I don't think so. And that's the problem. You know, he's a mobile guy to a degree, and you could utilize him in terms of the RPO game a little bit, but Tyler Shuck has struggled at times with turnovers and playing in the NFL. That's the main concern.
Yeah.
They have no rushing attack. It's running back by committee. I'm selling. They might be lucky, Ben, to have two or three wins this year.
And you know, Joe, it's really interesting as well, because when you think about a worst regular season record bet, the odds not out on FanDuel, as I cannot find them at this moment, But the Giants and the Browns, who both have the juice on the under of the 5.5 at -140, probably going to have a shorter price. You don't really want to call it a better price to be the worst, but a shorter price, a more likely price to have a terrible regular season record ever so slightly than that of the Saints. But I think there's some optimism for the Giants, at least a good draft. Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, and then maybe Jackson Dart. For the Browns, I'm not sure optimism is the right word, but we've known this is going to be the case. This is a seismic shift for New Orleans. And another seismic shift that needs to happen for the Saints, I would say, is there a team, Joe, that has been in cap hell, cap purgatory, no financial flexibility the last 3, 4, 5 seasons around the NFL? Derek Carr retiring does free up a little bit of space, but he's still going to have a pretty hefty cap hit in 2025. Beyond that, that's where you have some of that financial freedom. And you would think if you're Mickey Loomis, longtime GM, calling the shots there in the front office for this Saints franchise, this is really a reset. Hey, we've got a rookie head coach. We're going to start a rookie quarterback more than likely from week number one. We spent a second round pick on him. But if we are going to be drafting near the top of the 2026 NFL draft again, for all the ties, Joe, that we alluded to, for Arch Manning and Garrett Nussmeier, the Saints are now certainly in the running for being that worst team and having a chance to draft first overall next April.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mickey Loomis has done a terrible job during his tenure, you know, in New Orleans. Yeah. He might have pictures on somebody. That's the only reason why he keeps his job. It's amazing how Mickey, year after year, just makes terrible decisions for the organization and sets them back. And again, you know, the team and strength of this team was their defense, but it started last year. They're aging, and you have a terrible bottom third defense with an offense that can't even score more than potentially 17 or 20 points in a game. Good luck on getting that win total, and especially with inexperienced quarterback play. It would be a miracle if they get over that this year.
Mickey Loomis has been the GM in New Orleans for over 20 years, since 2002. There are a lot of GMs that have a much shorter leash than this. Yes, the Saints won a Super Bowl under his purview. Yes, there were glory days with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. But in the last 8 years, last 5 years, for a GM to keep his job with the track record we have seen, especially from the organizational building standpoint, pictures might be something, Joe, indeed, when it comes to Mickey Loomis. We'll never know, frankly, but a lot for this organization to figure out now this offseason, as Derek Carr has announced his retirement. Tyler Shuck, the second-round draft pick, more than likely going to be the starting quarterback for the Saints in 2025. And 5.5, now the win total for New Orleans, a plus 700 number for the Saints to be a playoff team in the NFC. Not great. I know the Saints fans are kind of happy that Derek Carr is no longer their signal caller. I think by week 9, week 10, it's not going to be an overly optimistic picture in the Big Easy. Plenty more to come on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Bennett Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. We've talked about the NFL schedule release happening this week. No further dates in games at this moment, but we'll have some later today on this Monday for sure to react to on a Tuesday on Football Full Circle. We talked about this shocking news over the weekend, Derek Carr announcing his retirement. Joe, a statement given today from Trey Hendrickson, of course, the edge rusher out of the Cincinnati Bengals, defensive player of the year, runner-up in 2024, leading the NFL in sacks with 17.5, provided this statement to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Of course, he is looking for a new contract this offseason. He has seen his two teammates on the offensive side of the ball, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, sign record-setting deals, and Hendrickson has been waiting for his. Quote, no communication has taken place between my camp and the organization post-draft. The offers prior to the draft did not reflect the vision we shared and were promised last offseason if I continued to play at a high level. Coaches are aware of these past conversations. rather than using collaboration to get us to a point to bring me home to the team, they, in all caps, they are no longer communicating. I have been eagerly awaiting a resolution of this situation, but that's hard to do when there is no discussion and an evident lack of interest in reaching mutual goals. End quote. In the statement released to ESPN by Trey Hendrickson. Does not seem to be an overly optimistic offseason situation, Joe, for Hendrickson and the Bengals. And frankly, I completely understand where Trey is coming from.
Yeah, we talked about this. He was the last domino to fall when the other three, you know, got signed, right? And then obviously Burrow was a couple of years ago, and now the two big play wide receivers. And they're content when you have one of the worst defenses in the NFL to say, you know what, we could outscore anybody. They're the one team I think that feels confident. Hey, if our defense sucks, we could still win games because we potentially have a top five quarterback and a top five wide receiver. And, you know, again, that's the mentality. Would Trey Hendrickson elevate that defense and make them better? Obviously, yes. But is he going to make them a top 10 unit? Most likely not. And so they're looking at the risk reward and saying, you know what? We could afford to let him go. We're not, you know, not re-sign him. And it's not going to affect us that much as opposed to going from a top five offense to potentially, let's say, top 15 or top 12, where it's a significant drop off because we need the offensive players more.
Sure, right? But you need some defensive players out there, and Trey Hendrickson is one of the best. There was also some conversation when it became pretty clear that Hendrickson was not going to receive the new contract extension that he hoped for early in the offseason, that he wanted to be traded. And yet Cincinnati has not really welcomed in a lot of trade offers to deal Hendrickson. And now following the NFL draft, Joe, this is where things get quiet. It would be a blockbuster kind of out of nowhere if and when in the end of May we find out that Trey Hendrickson has been dealt. Of course, Ja'Marr Chase signing a large deal. Four-year, $161 million extension. That's 40.25 a season. Highest paid player non-quarterback in NFL history. T. Higgins signed a four-year, $115 million deal. $28.8 million, making him the ninth highest paid receiver in the National Football League. Highest paid 1A or second wideout for a team. A lot of investment from the Bengals offensively, very little defensively. And Joe, we saw that be the case for Cincinnati. Well, you're right. With Trey Hendrickson out there, last year they were garbage on the defensive side of the ball. But to me, that's even further evidence that they need to sign Trey Hendrickson and try to build around him, because the Bengals offensively were sensational. Joe Burrow putting up runaway MVP numbers, had his team finished in the postseason and not 9-8. They were pulling up offensive number after offensive number and still losing games they had no business losing. That doesn't really change this offseason if this is where things stand. And if your new Bengals DC, Al Golden, after leading Notre Dame to the national championship game a season ago, you're also probably getting mad at the front office, like Trey Hendrickson, saying, where are my defensive guys?
Let me ask you this, okay? Is this a similar situation to Buffalo last year, where Buffalo still made an AFC championship run? They got rid of a bunch of older talent that, you know, wasn't elevating and playing potentially at an all-pro level, and everybody thought they'd take a step back, and all of a sudden they played again in an AFC championship game, and you say to yourself, you know what? Hey, they did it with lesser parts. And I'm not suggesting that Trey Hendrickson was playing down. He led the NFL in sacks. But knowing that, hey, we could potentially not sign this guy and still maybe make a run, and we might do it at a cheaper cost to get other players in. And with Golden there, maybe it is a scheme thing. Maybe saying, hey, our defense sucked, and it was an old type of scheme with a fresh outlook. Maybe he can elevate them. Ben, they don't have to be top 10. They just have to be top 20. They can't be as bad as they were last year. Well, ooh, I don't know.
I think they are on track to be even worse than they were a season ago. I hear the point, Joe, in comparison. Are we overlooking Cincinnati based on a perceived gap or a perceived hole of talent on one side of the football? Buffalo was very different, though, right? They had all pro veteran performers that they kind of let go. And I think most of the concern for the Bills was offensively a wide receiver room that no longer had Stephon Diggs or Gabe Davis, and they filled it out. I do think, though, Buffalo, their question was not win 12 games, win the AFC East. It was get past the Chiefs, and what did we see? That exact result. So to your point, can the Bengals score 42 points a game and win 9 or 10 of them, maybe even being a playoff team? Sure. They've got Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins. Can they do that and contend for an AFC championship? I would say absolutely not. And that is where I think the reality comes into it for the Bengals. Because in Joe Burrow's 3 full healthy seasons now, 1 year was last year, 9-8 missing out on the postseason. The two previous was an AFC championship appearance. I think that is now the standard of success in Cincinnati. And an 11-win season and a playoff berth is fine. It's not what you paid all these millions of dollars to do just to be a playoff team. We'll continue that conversation on the other side of the break here on Sports Grid Radio. It's FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe, if the Bengals do not re-sign Trey Hendrickson this offseason, I think they could get over their win total of 9.5. The over has the juice at -125. I think they could be a playoff team from the difficult AFC North and in the AFC as a whole. I do not believe the Bengals will go anything further than the wild card or at best divisional round, because that is the difference, I think, of having an elite offense, but at least having a stable defense. And that is not what Cincinnati has at this moment, at least in all the offseason changes we have seen and the lack of re-signing Trey Hendrickson.
Well, let's say, let's make it worse scenario. Let's say Trey Hendrickson's not there. Right? You're making the 9.5 win total, okay, whether they can get it over that. I'll pose a different question. Can they win one of two games in the month of September to start the year? Could they start 1-1 at worst, as opposed to 0-2 that they have the past three right. seasons? You know, can they beat a team that they were 7.5-point favorites against week number one in garbage Jacoby Brissett and the New England Patriots? Yep. Because if they could do that, then they have a very good chance, whether Hendrickson's there or not, to get over the 9.5 win total. So, you know, if you're betting the Bengals this year, you're betting right now. Can this team now, with their signings of Higgins and Chase, be focused enough to come out of the gate and have a hot start as opposed to walking through the motions? If you bet that, yep, they're going to be an 11 or a 12 win football team.
Completely agree, Joe. 2022, 2023, the Bengals started 0-2. In 2022, they rallied to be the champions of the AFC North and, of course, to reach the AFC championship game. In 2023, they were on track to follow what they had done the season prior before Joe Burrow got injured after 10 games. In 2024, they started 0-3, and now we continue the trend. Only one team since the turn of the millennium has started 0-3 and reached the NFL postseason. That was the Houston Texans, I believe, back in 2017. So just a good start, a 500 start in their first 3-4 games. That would be something. And Joe, it is interesting because I do believe there is value on the Bengals, but I have to see how the defensive situation is resolved. At 10-1, Cincy is the only other team around the AFC in the Patrick Mahomes era to go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, to knock off Kansas City, even in Arrowhead, in an AFC championship. The Ravens have not, led by Lamar Jackson. The Josh Allen Buffalo Bills certainly have not as well. And with how tightly compacted those trio of teams are, Ravens and Bills, again, as I said earlier in the show, shockingly in front of Kansas City, to have the Bengals back there at a 10-1 price, I do think is value. So if at some point, even if he's not all that happy with how the process played out, Trey Hendrickson is re-signed and given the extension he deserves by the Bengals front office, I'll probably start to buy in on Cincy. Right now, I am hesitant. And that was my issue with how the Bengals went about signing Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins after placing the franchise tag on Higgins for a second consecutive year. If you had done this with the financial flexibility and the foresight necessary, Ja'Marr Chase last offseason, T. Higgins last offseason, or even the offseason prior, then you would have had the financial flexibility to pay Trey Hendrickson right here, right now, and probably another stalwart defender to make sure that your defense was anchored and good.
Yeah, so you're saying you're not buying in until you know Hendrickson signed, sealed, and delivered, right? So I'll give you another way to attack it, potentially. If you don't believe they'll sign Trey Hendrickson, could they make the playoffs? It's possible. We still say they could outscore anybody. To miss the playoffs on FanDuel, it's plus 125. But I think they'd definitely make the playoffs this year, right? So I would bet it as insurance. If they don't win the AFC Championship, have them losing in the divisional or championship round. If you want to go a half a unit, full unit, it's plus 430 to lose in the divisional round, 9-1 to lose in the championship. That's not a bad way to play it.
There are those stage of elimination bets now out on the FanDuel Sportsbook for next season. I do like the look as well, Joe. It's a pretty good plus money prices because of the variability of where they could be in that stage of the postseason or missing out on the playoffs in its entirety. We also have Shamar Stewart, their first round pick, the edge rusher out of Texas A&M, not doing on-field workouts because the rookie clause or the Bengals is different than other teams. I don't really like the front office or the organization or ownership in Cincinnati. I like their football players. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. That does it today for Football Full Circle. Show returns tomorrow on Sports Grid Radio, noon Eastern time.